Glad it wasn't my dog. It's the famous poet. Has anybody heard the famous poem? Birdie, birdie in the sky, why'd you do that in my eye? I'm not sad and I won't cry. I'm just glad that cows don't fly. I was walking out to go to Hiles Anderson years ago, and I walked out and I saw some bird got me. Yeah, you got it? This great, there's a great one online. A news commentator is talking about this bad. Did anybody see this one? This bad bird infestation. I think it was Florida. I forget where it was. He's standing under the tree. This bad bird infestation looks up and right in his mouth. That's if reincarnation is true. That's what I would want to be. Fly over a Catholic church, and all this stuff. Man, oh man, what fun that would be. Okay, with that spiritual stuff in mind, Ezekiel 6. And let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to understand the words. Help us to see that what secretly took place years ago is still taking place. And we realize how evil this world is. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel 6. Remember Ezekiel's prophet taken to Babylon on the second time where they came in, Babylon. And he is prophesying directly to about 4,000 people in Babylon, but also indirectly or directly to Judah. Okay, as a long-distance thing, because it's about 400 or 500 miles. And, of course, that doesn't miles, kilometers, that doesn't matter with God. And so in chapter 5, he got a haircut, divided his hair. And he says one-third's going to die this way, one-third's going this way, one-third's going this way. And then a few hair strands were the remnant. In chapter 6, God gave him something else. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. What's wrong with the mountains? Okay, you have faith. As a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain. Okay, on occasion, mountains refers to nations. But the dark reality of it, mountains or high places is what influences nations. So he's prophesying about something very dark. The Bible's exposing this, very dark deeds that take place secretly. I don't believe this is out in the open. I do believe it's still going on secretly. And the devil is required by God to basically inform man what he does secretly. It's almost a requirement. God will hide truth in plain sight, and the devil hides truth in plain sight. So what's going on in the mountains of Israel? He's going to prophesy against them and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. What's going on in the high places? Your altars? Oh, some worship is going on in the high places. Your altars shall be desolate. Your images? Oh, some idolatry is going on in the high places. Who's up in the high places? Who's meeting them in the high places? Okay, shall be broken. Your images shall be broken. I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before your idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. So what's going on in these high places? Let's see if I got the right reference in my mind here. Try Jeremiah 32:35. What's going on in these high places? Remember Ephesians 6, verse 12, the New Testament passage about spiritual warfare. And this brings us into the New Testament idea. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So what's going on in the high places? Jeremiah 33:35. Okay, Jeremiah is the final prophet in Judah. Remember, he stayed in Judah while Ezekiel was taken against his will to Babylon. Jeremiah 32:35, and they built the high places of Baal. Beelzebub, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnon. Okay, this is just, let's see, what direction is that? Hank, Lindsay, remember when we were coming around the bus on one of the gates, and they said this valley is the valley of Hinnon? Do you remember that? In the south part of, I forget what side, okay. The gate where he's crucified, is that the south gate? I think that was south. So it would have been on the north side. As we took the bus around, the bus driver came down and around. He followed this road around, and he came back around, and he mentioned that's the Valley of Hinnon. Okay, right next to Jerusalem. So what was going on down there? The valley of the son of Hinnon to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So what's your thoughts? What do you think is going on in those high places? Now, are they just, quote, sacrificing the child, or are they doing something more to the child and then cremate the child? Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Getting rid of the evidence. I never saw the movie. Anybody see Monsters, Inc.? Anybody watch that? That movie tells you what they do. It's right in the movie. They don't hide it. Monsters, Inc. Uh-huh. We're getting there. It's beyond abortions. In Monsters, Inc., okay, this is the advertisement online. Monsters, Inc., this came out in 2001, November, after 9/11. Who pushes this movie? Disney Company? Here's what they say. First sentence. In order to power the city, monsters have to scare children so that they can scream. What are they doing? See, and then they have a couple more sentences. They make this a comedy. One of the monsters, Mike, is a one-eyed being. Celia May is a one-eyed being with snakes for her hair. And Randall is a six-limbed reptile. What are they doing? It grossed $57 million. Okay, they're not hiding it from us. It's right in front of us. They portray it as something innocent, as a cartoon or animation. Through that animation, you'll see a black and white soccer ball all through it, and it pictures adrenal chrome. What is that? That's when you terrorize a child, the adrenaline will flow. They harvest that from the child, and then use it as a drug for being high and living longer. In that movie, one of the characters say, I will kill hundreds of kids to keep this city. They're telling us what they're doing. Behind the scenes, secretly. They're not hiding it. If this was going on in 1400 BC, or this would have been 600 BC with Jeremiah, do you think things have gotten better? Remember when Satan offered Jesus the temptation? He said, if you bow and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms. So this tells us, if you're a Bible believer, who often gets in charge of international kingdoms? Somebody who worships Satan. And secretly, they are doing bad stuff, beyond our imagination. I don't believe they would be doing this out in the public. The average person can't even think of this. Now, Bill Snedlin told me that when he was into Satanism, he did not want to go that far. He did not want to hurt somebody. But he could stand in an elevator, somebody in front of him, and he could draw energy from them. Now, in his mind, that wasn't hurting them. But you're drawing energy. You ever be around somebody you just feel drained? Okay, that's the energy being drawn from you. Now, with kids, that's a natural thing. Okay? They just drain your energy. That's natural as they're running all over the place. But this is a satanic thing. Okay? And in these people's minds, they live longer by taking the blood of children with the adrenaline, ingesting it, and they live longer. And this is how they worship Satan, and then he gives the power whomsoever he will. Okay? This hopefully what this puts in our heart, don't believe the world system. Paul was right when he said in Galatians, this present evil world. Now, this is Mel Gibson's testimony. He said this in Europe. He did not say this in America. Okay, Mel Gibson was in Europe, and he's kind of been ousted by Hollywood. And here's some things he said in Europe in a Graham Norton show. He said, the Hollywood elites are an enemy of mankind, continually acting contrary to our best interest and breaking every God-given taboo known to man, including the sanctity of children. It's an open secret in Hollywood. These people have their own religious and spiritual teachings and their own social and moral frameworks. They have their sacred texts. Now, that would be the Kabbalah. And then you find out what the Kabbalah teaches. He says, they are sick, believe me, and they couldn't be more at odds with what America stands for. He further says, I don't know how to break it to you gently. Hollywood is institutionalized pedophilia. They are using and abusing kids. They churn through a huge amount of kids every year. Their spiritual beliefs, if you can call it that, direct them to harvest the energy of the kids. They feast on this stuff and they thrive on it. What do I mean? This isn't some kind of artistic abstraction. They harvest the blood of children. They eat their flesh. They believe this gives them life force. If the child was suffering in body and psyche before it died, they believe this gives them extra life force. This is a creative and loving force inside most of us that guides us through life. There. These people don't have this. For them, it is the opposite. Hollywood is drenched in the blood of innocent children. For a long time, all the references to pedophilia and cannibalism were symbolic or elusive, but I was personally introduced to the practice in the early 2000s. I can talk about this now because the people, the execs, they are dead now. The blood of sexually abused infant is considered high, enriched, and is highly prized. The money changing hands, the favors, the kickbacks, you have no ideas. Babies are a high functioning currency of all their own. Babies are their premium brand of high grade caviar, cocaine, diamond, steak, and so forth. Ezekiel is warning about that. 2,600 years ago. What do we do with something like that? Don't trust Hollywood, that's for sure. Don't trust Disney Company. Walt Disney, the 33rd degree Mason. So a person, you just got to be alert to these things and recognize that don't trust. Our hope is not in conservative politicians. That's not our hope. Okay, conservatives are usually the talk show host. They can get an audience, they can maintain an audience because they're usually thinkers. Liberals cannot get an audience, cannot maintain an audience because of their double-mindedness. People see through it. It's obvious hypocrisy. Limbaugh has endless material for hypocrisy of the liberals. That's so easy. God does not care about our conservatism. He wants us to be Christ-like. A conservative that doesn't trust Christ is going to go to hell with the liberals that he thinks he's going to get away from. You can be conservative all you want, but God is interested in us being Christ-like. Obviously, when a man reads the Bible, we're going to lean toward conservative ideas because the Bible is that way. Okay, but that's not where our hope's at. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is in the pulpit. Our hope is in the church. Our hope is not in the nation. Okay, and here, Ezekiel, look at, he just throws a couple verses in there. Now in chapter 8, he's actually going to go to the place where they worship in chapter 8. God says, hey, look in this hole in the wall. He goes, oh, there's a hole in the wall. And it goes in there, and things are portrayed on the wall. Animals, they had Pluto and Mickey Mouse and Donald Ducks portrayed on the wall, and they're in there worshiping. That's what the ancients are doing. 70 of them, Ezekiel chapter 8. I tell you, the thing that amazes me at the Bible is not that it's an old book. This book is telling us what's going to be in the paper tomorrow. This is such a powerful book. It is not just recording past events. It's telling us what we can expect prior to the second coming of Christ. And when we see these things, just get excited because the Lord's coming back, but yet also get on our knees and realize there are people that are bad. And we need to pray against that. And by chance, if you happen to, God allows somebody who's been attacked like that, who have actually given their testimony out. One gal just came out with her testimony this past, at the beginning of February, about the abuse she suffered from her Freemasons' grandparents. Okay, and so she just put it on YouTube and she says, if I end up dead, you know what's happening. And she might. She might. One of the things is to kind of get things out public so you could kind of keep things public, but she's got nobody backing her, so I don't know. But this is the dark side of Satan. How bad is he? The Bible says he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, is that literal? I believe it is. Yeah, they have to do that in order to... That strange flesh in Jude 7, it could be a combination of five different things. Okay, and that strange flesh, if it's Lucifer, where he appears as a man, okay, or whether it's fallen angels that appear to be men, or whether it's the children of fallen angels and men, or whether it's spirits manifesting themselves, or mutations of fallen angels in men and animal, or is it this transgenderism where a person mutilates the flesh, where they've gone beyond being a reprobate? It could be any one of those, because that's strange flesh. In the Bible, you have strange flesh, strange women, strange wives. Dad was just mentioning to me about that. He was reading Ezekiel 9 and 10. And it says, strange wives, seven times in chapter 10. And what did they do with that great revival? Divorce them. What a revival. We had a wonderful revival. What did we do with the divorce court? Yeah, they kicked out all the women and their kids. Why? Because it was probably, they were reprobate. When a society gets to the end like that, a city, Sodom, a society, Judah, an age, our age. When we're getting to the second coming of Christ, God says, okay, I'm done. That's where Romans 1, it says, God gives them over to a reprobate mind. God gave up on them. Okay, and so that's what he did with Judah. That's why Babylon came in. God gave up on them. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, Ezekiel gave a little insight to us what they were doing. Okay, their idols. Their idols are everywhere. Everywhere you go, you can see the devil's idols. Cemeteries, right downtown, you'll see the actors and actresses will cover one eye. They're telling you who their idol is. They'll go like this. They'll tell you who their idol is. They're telling you who your God. They're not hiding it. It's right in front of us. It used to be the rock music used to be backmasted where you had to figure it out. It's right in your face now. They're not hiding it at all. But the sad thing is they're worshiping a loser. We're on the winning side. And when somebody, I kind of get a chuckle out of it if I talk to a Satanist. I've talked to a few of them, or they try to appear real evil. Oh, I'm a Satanist. You know, trying to scare you. And I say, you worship a loser. You know? And it just kind of pulls their whole sail out, and they kind of go like the Wicked Witch of the East, the one on So here, what do they do in Ezekiel 6, verse 6? In all their dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste. That's Judah. And the high places shall be desolate. Lord said, I'm done with this. That your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. Okay? Doctrinally, second coming, that's what the Lord's going to do. Okay, he did this. This is Judah historically. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, remember, Ezekiel was taken in the second campaign, military campaign of Babylon. So the third one's still coming. So he is prophesying of the immediate attack of the third campaign. And then Jeremiah writes an eyewitness account of what he actually witnessed. That's Lamentations. It's got five chapters. He writes it in Lamentations. Doctrinally, Israel is going to be desolate in the tribulation, where he actually, in Isaiah 62, I think it's 4, where it says desolate with an uppercase D. It's so desolate. So he titles it desolate. And then in the tribulation, or going into a millennium, then the Lord's just going to wipe everything out. Okay, but here's the promise, verse 8. The promise, okay, and our British Israelites and all that folks that say God's done with Israel, no, they didn't read after paragraph mark. Yet will I leave a remnant. There we go. You see, and that's we don't want to forget that remnant. That remnant, I've got several cross-references on that. Remnant, letter J, look at all those in the middle. Okay, if you got a very good reference Bible. Okay, in Romans 9:27, that's the one for the church. So Paul picked up the idea, what about Israel for the church? We read that in Romans 9:10 and 11. There's three chapters in a row he covers that. And then Revelation 12 is the remnant of the tribulation. So that remnant will be the inheritors, the heirs of the salvation of Israel that Hebrews writes about. They will inherit the Abrahamic promise and will begin the millennial reign with the Lord Jesus. The restoration of the nation of Israel. Yet will I leave a remnant that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations. Okay, here nations plural, so that jumps us doctrinally where historically nation singular Babylon. So he's got the paragraph mark. So that paragraph mark jumps a couple thousand years for us. And we shall be scattered through the countries, and they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captive. Now how far does he take them? He says, to the ends of the earth, wherever that is. Okay, and it says, ye shall be scattered through the countries, and they shall escape of you, shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart. King James only word. There's Hollywood. Yeah, that's right. Which hath departed from me, and with their eyes which go whoring after their idols. There you go. There's the Kabbalah. There's the apostate Jews, the fake Jews, the Khazars, or the Ashkenazis, some will call them. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. Okay, that loathing of themselves will be the remnant. That's the repentance. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that would I do this evil unto them. Lord says, I mean what I say. It just might take a while. Verse 11, thus said the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. Okay? The media industry is controlled by these apostate Israel. How did that start? Okay, Jewish people came to America in the early 1900s, and they got into the silent films. In the silent films, they had all the wording in English. They were not real good with English yet. And so they started with the silent films and then continually progressed. And the major players of the owners of the media industry, the five large media industry, were all Jewish people. And you see it all through the actors and actors. Now, they'll change some of their names to American. Michael Landon, Jewish man. Horowitz was his original name. Of course, the famous three, Curly, Moe, and Larry. We got to make sure we get those three Jews. Okay, and those would be the apostate Jews and or fake Jews. Okay, the Jewish remnant will be the ones that inherit. You see, the people that are British Israelites that have become replacement theology, they have overreacted, okay, and are foolishly thinking that God is totally done with Israel. Then he lied to Abraham, he lied to Moses, he lied to David. No, he's not done with Israel. Israel is not the church is not Israel. Okay, so then he says, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Okay, that goes back to chapter 5, the three modes of death. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. That's got to be the worst way to go. Okay, that siege lasts 18 months. That's the third campaign. Okay, so that will be immediately fulfilled in just very short order. If my time is right, 589, it would have been less than 3 years. 586. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. So God is not pleased with these things. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when your slain men shall be among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of the mountain, and under every green tree. Well, there's our green movement. That's the spirit behind the green movement. Climate change. It's all lies. It's all deception. Okay, so that's what's going to be. Gorbachev said that years ago. That's what we're going to use. The green movement. Every green tree under every thick oak. Something about an oak tree that they worship is a big deal. The place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. What's the sweet savor? That's the kids of verse 4 and 5. That's what they relish. It's like nature. In nature, it's the young that have the highest mortality rate. It's easier for the lion to catch the baby gazelle, you know, rather than trying to chase something big down. And so they offer that to all their idols. Molech. Molech, the owl god. The owl god in America is in the redwood forest of Bohemian Grove. He says, verse 14, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, Mike Pearl throws out this idea, and he doesn't say it's dogmatic, but it sort of kind of makes sense to me. Okay, what about children that die, okay, prior to knowledge of good and evil? Well, we know they're safe in Christ. Okay, so they're safe in Christ. That's a promise of the Bible. Is it a possibility that the Lord lets those children come back to live their life out in the millennium? I don't know. Mike says it's an idea. It's not a dogmatic idea. Okay, but it's an interesting idea where these people have the opportunity to live their life. Now, he takes it also extends a little bit further, where if a child is like mentally handicapped or something like that, and they live out their life, of course, they're safe in Christ. But he says, is it a possibility that that child comes back in a millennium and his own parents, who, if they're safe, his own parents get to raise him in a millennium? That can provide comfort. Again, it's not something that it seems that the Bible comes out and says, but it's an interesting thought. It wouldn't be contrary to the Bible, because we know that people in the millennium are resurrected. Are they not? The ones that killed in the tribulation, they're resurrected. So why could he not resurrect and allow these children to live out their lives? It's just that they got a pretty good environment. And the Lord kind of says, you know, I took your life from you or allowed it to be taken from you, so I'm just going to give you 1,000 years. Be a pretty good trade-off. Okay, so Ezekiel, interesting things, and then in chapter 7, you're going to see where he mentions right off the bat, and in the end, and in the end. Okay, and then doctrinally, he's going to run this. He's going to add in chapter 7, moreover, he's going to show that this is doctrinally something about the end times. You'll see it in verse 2, an end, the end. Verse 3, the end. Verse 5, evil. Verse 6, an end. Okay, and that goes in line with Matthew 24. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. And then Hebrews fall in lines with that. So we'll pick up chapter 7. The Lord is keeping the accounts. That's a fact. So this is an amazing book. Okay, chat, any questions or comments are we covering?